Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the homebrew meeting. Amen. It seems like it's been a long time. I guess last month we had Pastor Marco and Tessie from Bulgaria at the beginning of the month, and then we didn't have one all the way to the end of June, but it's been a while, but it's good to see everybody after the homebrew meeting. So let's go ahead and kind of refresh our minds a little bit and kind of look at some things that we talked about over a month ago, and then we're getting to Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 54. And this tells you this is lesson 54. We do this every month, so I've been sharing this series, Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, for 54 months, and it's just been a blessing. Amen. I know Miss Betty was talking about turning this into a book, and I said, well, I would love to do that, and maybe someday I will. And maybe that's what that picture in Nepal would be the cover for that, maybe. So I guess one of these days I'm going to start running around, and God will have me set and right. But as I was saying earlier, I've been doing a phone Bible study. Even for my friends around the world, if you would like to get a copy of the booklet Spiritual Authority and the booklet Spiritual Leadership, just contact me, and when it's done, I will go ahead and I will get that out to you. They're both very, very good. I've been sharing those two lessons many places around the world, and it's been a great blessing. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn our heart and our mind to Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, and we'll look at 3 points that we looked at last month to get us moving in the right direction. And as we open up our spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, because I'm just a dispenser. The teacher is really the Holy Spirit, and he's the one that goes ahead and must communicate this to our spirit, because if we do not get it by our spirit, we will not get it. Let me say that again. If we do not get anything of the things of God by our spirit, we can't get it by our mind, we can't get it by our emotions, we have to get it by the spirit, amen?
Amen.
So the first point that we looked at was the provisions and power of God is not determined if we fail or not or succeed. The power and the provisions of God does not determine if we fail or we succeed. Nor is the enemy's power or provision. The enemy does not determine if we're going to fail or succeed. If we fail or succeed in God, it's up to us. It's up to us if we fail or succeed. If we are obedient, if we do those things that God wants us to do, then we will be successful. If we do not do those things that God wants us to do, then we will fail. But, you know, in God, it's okay if you fail. Now, that would be a good place to say amen. Because in the world, if you fail, the world will ball you up and throw you away and get rid of you. But in God, that's not true. In God, if you fail, you have a second chance. And there's a third chance. And you will never, ever fail in God as long as you don't get stuck in your failure. Many Christians get stuck in their failure, And that's it for them. But in God, there's always a second and a third and a fourth chance, as long as we don't get stuck and as long as we can move out. Amen? The second point we will go ahead and we will look at is we must never, ever focus on ourselves, the enemy, or what God is doing for us. Amen?
Amen.
We should never, ever focus on ourselves. We should never, ever focus on what the enemy's doing, or this guy or that guy's doing, or whatever. And we must never, ever focus on what God is doing for us. Because if we focus on that, then it becomes what God is doing and not God. Or what He's not doing, or whatever. Our focus should always be on God. Our focus should always have that laser focus, that clarion call of God, and everything else will take care of itself. Amen? And the last point is we are brought into the wilderness. And again, the wilderness is a place of hard times. The wilderness is the place of troubles. The wilderness is a place of confusion and all of these things where they don't make sense and they're not working out But this is the place that God can work in our life. This is the place where we can grow, therefore, in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the place where we learn. This is the place where God can minister to us. Song of Solomon 8:5 says, "Behold, who is he coming up out of the wilderness leaning on his beloved?" The wilderness is the place where we learn how to lean on our beloved. And I promise you, if you never go through tough times, if you never go through difficult areas in our life, then we will never ever learn how to lean on our beloved. Amen. So those were 3 points that we kind of would summarize a little bit of what we looked at last week. And now we're going to go ahead and we're going to look at the notes that I gave you. And that is Wilderness Truths for Modern Times, number 54. And aha! Wow! Song of Solomon 8:5. Wonderful, wonderful verse here. It says, "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. Here my mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee." Amen. Song of Solomon 8:5, a tremendous verse. And I forgot that was even our text verse, but that just kind of was just, you know, in my spirit. Amen. Well, I'd like to look at first is we need this way. You know, when Christians first started, you know, when Paul was persecuting the church and stuff like this, they weren't called Christians. They were called the Way. The Way is what they were called. And you know, if you look in Acts and other books in the Bible, you will see that reference. And so we need this way. We need this way. The wilderness is a part of our Christian development. It is necessary for our growth. People that never go through anything have nothing really to speak of. Let me say that again. People that never go through anything have nothing to speak of because they've never allowed God really to work in their life, because in those difficult times, it's when God is able to work in our lives and conform us into His character and just go ahead and work in us. Amen? It is God's method for getting His provisions to us and into us. The wilderness is the way that God uses to get His provisions in us and to us. It is that which the Lord uses to bring spiritual enrichment into our life. It's not in the good times. It's not in the land that flows with milk and honey. Because the children of Israel, they're in the land, you know, they're here in Paran. And Paran means glory. And God brought them into the wilderness of Paran so He could show them His glory. But they never, you know, they never moved in what God wanted them. And God could only show them a little bit of glory. It is meant, it is a means that God uses to develop faith and trust in us. The wilderness is the place where God is able to develop faith and trust in us. And if God cannot develop faith and trust in us, then He cannot use us. Amen?
Amen.
If God cannot develop faith, and if He cannot develop trust in us, now, we can trust Him, but the question comes down, can God trust us?
That's right.
Amen? That's a whole different story.
Yeah.
How faithful are we to God? How faithful are we to our spouse? How faithful are we to our friend? How faithful are we to our church? God is to us what we are to God. So if we're not very faithful to our friends and our church and all of that stuff, then God is not going to have much trust in us. But when God takes us into some hard times, some times when He's able to work in our life, He will be able to build faith and He will be able to build trust in us. The wilderness is an essential part of a Christian's life, whether we like it or not. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not like it when God begins to work on me. When God begins to work off some rough edges. And I could say a couple weeks ago, I mean, God just kind of like hands me right here, you know? Don't you like it when God gets you right here?
Mm.
You know? It's wonderful, isn't it, Gabe? No, it's not. It's not. It's not. And I mean, you know, God, you know, will start, you know, and the simplest things, the things that you think have no bearing, and you think the dumbest things, well, God will bring this to your mind, and He will get you, because God often will put us in a fix, so He can fix us. And if God can't put you in a fix, then He'll not be able to fix you. And God knows how to fix all of us, and He knows just the fix to put us into.
Exactly.
The fix that God will put me into maybe wouldn't work on Brother Darryl or Brother Ray. No. But the one that God can fix me with, He knows He knows how to fix me with that. Amen?
Amen.
We may not like that, but we know that it's good for our health. And He brings us into the wilderness so that we may see His glory. Wow. Let me stop there for a second. God brings us to hard times, difficulties. Who is He coming up from the wilderness, leaning on the Beloved? God brings us into the wilderness, all of these difficulties and all of this hard time, so He can show us His glory, moving in this particular unlikely and unpleasant place. Not too many people like these unpleasant places, but that's the place where we can really, really see God's glory. And if God cannot show us His glory, He can't use us. What are we going to say? What are we going to tell? What will we give people? Will we give them what we can memorize? Will we give them what we've learned or, in school or, emotional sense or whatever? If we cannot give people God's glory, then He can't use us. If we can't, and the only way we can do that is when we allow God to show us His glory. That was in Exodus 33, that was Moses' prayer. And he said, unless I can see Your glory, I am not moving from here. We are not staying here. Show us now Thy glory, Moses said. Amen. Let us look for the glory of God in the wilderness. Let us not look at other things. No. Because if we do, we will miss the cloud and we will miss the glory. And of course we know the wilderness of Paran is where they are right now, and God gave them a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day that protected them and led them. And that was all the glory of God, and that was the provision of God. But if they didn't look at that, they were looking at other things, then they would not be able to receive the benefits of those things. Amen? We must believe what we understand. We must believe what we understand. And we can only understand and believe when we really see it. When we really see it. Have you ever had God to do something miraculous in your life?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Well, I tell you, when you have had God to do something miraculous in your life, and you understand that, your belief just goes skyrocketing.
Hmm.
Just goes skyrocketing.
Amen.
And when we are able to see God's glory, when we're able to see and understand God's glory, our belief, not only in Him, but in other things, will just take on new limits. And so we believe what we understand. And of course, we can only understand and believe things when we allow God to show us that. Certainly, the difficulties and the giants will be there. But looking at them as an insurmountable problem and unconquerable enemies will lend us to defeat. Make no mistake, you're going to have problems in your life. Jesus, that's a promise from God. In this world you shall have tribulation. But fear not, I have overcome the world, Jesus said. That's a promise. We're going to have tribulation. The giants are going to be there. But don't worry about it. Don't focus on the giants. Don't focus on the problems. Don't focus on all of the things that will defeat us. Let us focus on God. And if we believe we will be defeated, we will. Amen? If you believe you're going to be defeated, you're going to be defeated. But if you believe you will not be defeated, you will not be defeated. And if we believe the devil is after us, he is. He is. If you believe the devil was after you, he is. He's going to be after you. But if you don't believe the devil's going to be after you, God's going to be after me, then the devil won't be after you, eh? Amen? Let us lift our eyes from the ground and look heaven, and look heavenward. Helen H. Elemental expressed this well in her hymn, The Heavenly Vision. And that was, turn your eyes unto Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim strangely dim. Not dim, but they would grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. What are we looking at today? Amen. What are we looking at? Are we looking at the giants? Are we looking at insurmountable problems, whatever? Or are we looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? Are we looking at the light of His glory and His grace? If not, then we are looking at defeat. And that's our choice. We choose, not God, not the devil, not anybody else, but we choose what we're going to look at.
Amen.
We choose if we're going to look at defeat or if we're going to look at victory. Because we know in God, there is no defeat. There's no defeat in God. God has never been defeated. But if we think there's defeat in God, then we're going to be defeated. But in God, there's only victory. Victory and overcoming is the same adjective. It's the same process in the Bible. Anytime you see the word overcomers or victory, you can swap those two words out. It's the same thing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That is the best advice or counsel we shall ever receive under any circumstance. No matter what the circumstance is, the best advice we could always give is turn your eyes unto Jesus. And once we have our blessed Lord in proper view, everything else falls into proper perspective. Then the whole realm of heaven and the abundance provisions come into clear and correct focus. We see the victory before it comes.
Amen.
Now, did you catch that? When you turn your eyes unto Jesus, then you can see the victory before it comes. You don't have to wait for the victory. You can see the victory before it even comes. Amen? And that we shall ever, all that we shall ever need is in Him. Come, let us follow our beloved into the wilderness. There we shall come under the shelter wings and draw from His endless provision. If we cannot see the victory before it happens, God will have a hard time with us. If we cannot see victory before it happens in God, then God will have a hard time with us. Amen? There's a thousand needs will be met. There shall be on this wireless and beautiful and glory. And from there we shall go into even broader blessings, brightness, and a grander glory. God brought the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran for two main reasons. The first was to show, the first was to show His most beloved His glory and beauty. And two was to commence the conquest of the promise He has made over 435 years ago, the fulfillment of the promised land. God brought the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran, and this was the fourth wilderness that they went into. But He brought them in there for two reasons. One was to go ahead and show Him their glory. And we talked about how, God was up on the mountain, and the mountain rumbled, and God said, come up, and, the people said, oh, no, He scares us. Moses, you go up. And so Moses went up, and God could show Moses His glory, but He could not show the people His glory. And the second reason was to begin the conquest. In the wilderness is training, and in the wilderness was a period of time where the children of Israel learned how to fight. They learned, and they got their weapons, and they learned how to fight. So when they did cross the Jordan River, then they were trained, and they had the ability to go and conquer the nations. Of course, they went to Jericho first after they crossed the Jordan River, and just a great victory right there. And so that's why God brought them into the wilderness of Paran, was to show them their glory and to train them for battle. But they never got to see all of the glory and beauty of God He wanted to show them. Isn't that sad? They never got to see all of the glory that God wanted to show them and the beauty that He had for them. I would say even today, in a lot of lives, and maybe even my life sometimes. I would say it's sad that I have not allowed God to show me some things that He wants to show me. Amen? They saw some glory, but not the glory God desired to show them and to work in them. It's one thing to have God to show you glory, but it's something different to have God to be able to work His glory into your life.
Amen.
That's totally, that's a different process. We can see a little baby being born, or we can see a miracle, or something like that. That's the glory of God. But when God begins to work in our life, and God begins to show us in the inward man, when He begins to strengthen us with might, as Paul prayed in the inward man, wow, that is a total difference there. Amen? We must never look at the situation or the circumstance, but we must always be looking at God. Many Christians desire to see only a little bit of God's glory and beauty. Agree with that?
Right.
Most Christians, all they want to see is just a little bit. They don't want to pay the price, because I will tell you, it will cost you. To see God's glory will cost you. It will cost you. It's not for free. And God, nothing is free. Nothing is free. Even your salvation was not free. It cost Jesus His life. But in God, it costs us things. And we have to, there's things that God will ask of us, usually ask of ourself, our selfishness and our pride and our arrogance and all of those things. But most Christians, they only desire to see a little bit of God's glory and His beauty. But God is wanting many Christians to go forth and eat of the bounty of the promised land. But sadly, they have no stomach for the conquering giants or spending time in the wilderness to learn the lessons and gain the strength required to overcome. And that's what we saw. The children of Israel, they sent out spies, and only two came back and they said, yeah, we can conquer them. Yeah, no. We are as grasshoppers to these giants. They got big cities and so forth, and we can't do that. And that's what that was the report of the 10 spies. But Joshua and Caleb said no. They had their focus on God, and they said no. We can go and we can conquer. Amen. We need to have that focus of Joshua and Caleb, and maintain that focus and allow us to see God's glory. It will cost us to see God's glory, as I said. It will cost us to see God's glory. And to do so, we must take a risk. We must take a risk to see God's glory. Amen?
Amen.
There's a risk in being a Christian. You got to get out there. You got to get out there on the edge sometimes. You got to get out there on the limb. And God's got this solved. Amen? And, we must take there must be a risk that we will take. And I may talk about that a little later. Amen? Many Christians are content to eat the manna and the quail in the wilderness and drink water when God does a miracle. But these lessons that God uses to build faith and to build trust in Him, they are not miracles. They are not miracles. You know, when I was talking about taking a risk, I was thinking of Elijah, I think it was, when God told him to go to this certain cave and this certain brook, because there, at that cave, is where God commanded the ravens to go, and he would be fed. But for him to get there, there was a risk. There was a danger for him to get there. He had to take that risk. But his provision was at that cave. Because there is where God commanded the ravens to feed him. He had to get there. And if he didn't get there, then he would not be in God's place of provision. That's where the ravens was going to feed him. And that's the risk. And there was a risk that he had to take. And it's the same thing in our life. We have to take a risk. And we have to get to that place. We have to get to that place where God has provision for us. Amen? Amen? Miracles are not always God's best for our lives. Wow, how about that? Miracles are not always God's best for our lives. If God does the miracle, he must supersede his physical and spiritual laws. God would rather us follow his spiritual and physical laws, and he would rather us be obedient to him and do the things that we know to do, instead of having to do a miracle for us. Now, God will do a miracle, to make no mistake, but I will tell you, I do not believe that is God's best. I believe God would, be obedient and do the things. You know, people say, oh, my health is so bad, and I have this problem and that problem. Well, and God just, touch my body and just touch my blood sugar and do all of these things. Well, if you eat right, if you follow the laws of food that God has for you, if you do the things, if you get rest and all that good stuff, God is building a body who will take care of us. Miracles, and God, yes, we do miracles. He's done miracles in my life, but I will tell you that miracles are not always what God wants, and it's not always his best. Amen? Because he has to supersede. He has to change his word. He has to change things. And it's better that we walk in obedience. Amen? Some parting thoughts. So instead of moving into the promised land, the children of Israel moved into the next wilderness. Now, at this point, in the wilderness of Paran, God made a way for the children of Israel to go up into go north and go right into the promised land. But the spies came back and said, oh no, the walled cities and we're at grasshoppers and there's no way that we can do that. So instead of going north, they went east. They went east, further into the wilderness. Amen? And I know there's a lot of Christians today, instead of moving in what God wants for their lives, they go into another wilderness for more training and more development and stuff like that. But God wanted to move the children of Israel north, right into the promised land, because he trained them. He trained them to a certain degree in Paran, and they were ready to go in and conquer the land, but they did not believe they could do that. They did not have enough faith in God. Amen? Forward, they moved further away from what God had for them. Wow. Forward, they moved further away from what God had for them. But forward into progress. Forward and eastward, they moved. Further and further away from God's glory and beauty. Because God's glory and beauty was here, and that was to go north. But they didn't have that faith. And so what they did, they went eastward. And if you look at the map from where they crossed the Red Sea, and where they were was up here. They went eastward. They went out into the desert. They went deep into the desert. And as we will see in other lessons, that it was a very, very difficult time. And there was a lot of bad things happened to them. Even though God was faithful and he kept them, but that generation that left Goshen, they all died off. And it was the second generation that possessed the promised land. But they moved further and further away from God's glory because they moved away from God. If we do not move into what God has for us now, we too are moving further and further away from God's glory and beauty. Wow, that's a powerful thought, but that's true. We then will have no progress eastward. We then will have to progress eastward. Moving eastward, away from God, move further and further away from God. We're moving further and further away from God's glory. Many Christians are moving, but most are moving further and further away from God and his beauty. Our choice is a determining factor in our lives. Religion or righteousness. Tradition or separation. These are not sins per se, but they will not move us closer to God. The children of Israel, they needed to move westward. They were moving eastward and they needed to move westward, and so they could come back to where God is. Amen?
Amen.
The children of Israel, as we will see in some other future lessons, they got into in the wilderness with Beersheba and Zin, and they got into a number of wildernesses where they got into a lot of trouble. And they did not have to do that. They did not have to do that. At this point right here, all they had to do was believe in faith. All they had to do was, yes, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Yes, yes, you know, we could conquer that land. That's all they had to do. But they did not have the faith. And so they did not have the faith. What happened was they moved eastward, further and further away from God. That's not what God wants for us. God wants us to ever stay close to Him. God does not want us to move further, further away from Him. God wants us to be able to show us His glory and His beauty and move in our lives. Amen? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your love and for Your mercies, Father. Lord, we just love You and we thank You for this opportunity to share this lesson, Father, Lord God. Lord God, let this lesson, Father, Lord God, Lord, let this be a warning to us, Father, Lord, that we do not want to move eastward, Father, Lord God. We want to move west. We do not want to go, Father, Lord, unless Your presence goes with us, Father, Lord. And we want to move in obedience, Father, Lord. We want to keep our eyes upon You, Father, Lord God. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord God. We just thank You and we praise You. And Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.